When people come up to our table, I don't want anyone to walk away empty-handed. There is at least one comic on our table that is aligned with you. And if we don't have it, we're going to get it eventually.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to Panels on Pages. My name is Dalibor Dujovic, the Indie Hype Man, and I am joined today by someone who I've been a fan of longer than I have been the Indie Hype Man, Michael Watson. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine, man. How you doing?
Doing wonderful. This is a very special one for me because I dug into my card collection here. This is I moved everything. I moved my indie cards over, but I've got the FS collection right here.
Oh
I'm missing a few. I'm missing number
no.
nine. I'm missing a few, but I got the whole thing. I even got the original Hotshot Universe cards as well. So I got the whole collection. I got the whole collection. I got everything you had at the time, and I was mad that you didn't have number nine. So if somebody's got number nine out there, I'm willing to put some decent money on the table for that.
Oh shoot, that's a throwback.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it was so cool because I think I made that realization last year, and we were talking, and I was looking at some of your stuff, and I was like, "Man, did you do a card collection at one point?" And we're like, "Yeah." I was like, "I think I have those." And then this last year, I went like kind of digging through my cards and saw them again, and I was like, "These are his. This is awesome."
Awesome, man.
So today we're here to talk about Hotshot, brand new issue. Kickstarter coming soon. Make sure you guys hit the notification on Kickstarter. Look for Hotshot issue 12. That is going to be the new issue. It's going to be all 0 through 12, right?
Yes, 0 to 12
So
available.
full collection. You guys can get caught up. I actually, this is going to sound bad, but as you can see, I have quite the collection behind me, and I have even more digitally. And I just today read the first issue of Hotshot, first time ever.
It's okay, man. It's all
And it
right.
was great. It was freaking great, dude. It was genuinely a great ride. And it was one of those where it ended, and I was like, yeah, next. Like immediately I wanted the next issue. So that's a great feeling. It's a rare feeling, I'll be honest with you. Even across all genres and everything, it's a rare feeling to end the first issue and be like, man, I really want to jump into the next one.
Awesome. Thank you. That's good to hear.
So for those who don't know, why don't you tell people what is Hotshot, what is it about, and then we'll get into the new stuff.
Well, Hotshot is our flagship title at Freestyle Comics. It's our longest ongoing series that we have right now. Hotshot is, well, actually, picture yourself as a superhero going out into the city of Columbus, saving it every day, getting your butt kicked, and coming back home. And your girlfriend feels you're cheating on her until she dumps you, and you can't tell her that you're really a superhero because, darn those rules. And you're trying to win her back and prove to her that you never cheated on her without revealing you're a superhero while trying to manage and survive your hectic art school career and not lose your friendships trying to be this struggling new superhero.
So I read in your material that you based this on a personal situation when you were in college. You were dealing with a pretty rough breakup, and I took note because I have done the same thing. There is a story in the works for many years that starts with a breakup that I was going through at the time, and it's funny because now when I go back and read that first chapter, I'm like, man, I remember being that kid, like the guy writing this. I remember being that guy. But it's like I'm so removed from that situation. I mean, I'm in a marriage now for almost a decade. So like it's a completely different life now. And it's just to think back on who I was when I first wrote it. Hotshot's been around for many years now. I think it was what, 2002?
2004.
2004, 2004. So like almost 20 years of Hotshot right now. And how do you feel going back and looking at those early issues, like thinking about who you were then when you were writing that stuff versus who you are now and where Hotshot is today in issue 12?
I feel like Hotshot doesn't like me because I am punishing him constantly. It makes me, there's some things I definitely want to do more of with the series. One of the biggest things is that I want to get more issues out than one or two a year. I realize that a lot of our story is, it is Hotshot's book, so a lot of it's focused on him. But because of how long it takes us to put out our book, and when I put out one, I'm like, well, people want to see Hotshot. That's the character they want to see. It's been like 6, 7, 8 months since the last issue, so I got to give him Hotshot. So I definitely want to get more issues out so I can start incorporating more characters and really build up the supporting cast of Hotshot. I would like to say that Hotshot is a constant, is like a living, breathing thing. It is always in a state of like, what can we do better? If it's not from the art to the storytelling, to the production, to the look, to the feel, to how we're handling characters and things like that. There's things going on with Carla where we have like short stories happening in other books. So we can say that material's out there to see how she's acting, reacting to it in the Hotshot book. And, you know, just looking at like, we have Travis Gibb writing issue 14 for us, and he's like, Mike, you need more villains. You need more one shot type villains. So we put in here, you keep doing these big arcs. And I'm like, he's right. We need shorter story arcs with one shot villains that we can put in there so the gallery can get built up. And you know, and we really need to honestly, I need to promote our villain characters more in merch and online situations. And you know, just hyping them up more because our villains are just as good as our heroes. So I would just like to say I'm never in a state of mind of like I'm happy, completely happy where the book is. I'm always trying to improve and get it up to par, especially like when there's so many talented individuals around me that I work with, that I'm fans of, that I see. So I'm always trying to elevate and step the game up and get the book where it needs to be.
Well, I mean, I gotta say, right out the gate in the first couple pages of Hotshot number one, you have the Void, and right away you're in a fight scene. And I'm a big fan of starting a story in media res, you know, that like in action, and then you had to do a little flashback of what happened to get there. So like right out the gate, I'm like, oh, okay, this dude's mad powerful. This guy is a problem. And clearly we can see that Hotshot's in over his head, and he's not thinking that this is going to be a challenge. He's just like, I'm going to handle this guy. So, yeah. But at the same time, he's lamenting and like, this is a tough life. I do appreciate that you open it with, you know, they don't tell you this in the movies and the comics, like superheroing is a tough life.
Yeah. It is. There's a lot to it. And Victor did a hell of a job writing that. And I feel like, you know, that type of opening really gets it, makes it personable. And hopefully what it does, it sets you up for, we're going to see a different side of the heroics in this type of story. Like, we're going to be seeing a different perspective of it. Like, it's not going to be glorified like it is in other comic books. And not that there's anything wrong with that. But, you know, again, we want to try to have our stories as relatable as we can, because I feel like once you have a story that's relatable, you have people that can get behind a character and you know, wish and want their failure or their success.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I think that's why a lot of people latch on to characters like Peter Parker. You know, he's the guy that's always trying hard, but always gets down on his luck. You know, I'm not a big fan of the let's keep Peter Parker broken alone trope.
Oh, they yeah, seem to keep I'm not going. A fan of that either.
Like I'm hashtag make Peter Parker married again. I want him married with kids and being the like. I want him to become the Jay Garrick of the Spiders of 616 Marvel.
Yeah.
So how do you see, like, with your many characters, you have a very wide gallery of characters with all your other titles on top of Hotshot. You know, I see the numbers in the corner, right? The verse numbers. Mm-hmm. And is that a guide of like where this story takes place chronologically? I've always wondered that, because I see that on a bunch of the stuff that you put out, and I'm like, man, because it feels like in the late 90s, early 2000s, they had it on the Superman books.
Yep.
And they had like a triangle with a number, and it was essentially the sequential order within all the super books.
Yes.
And is that something what's happening in the Hotshot universe?
That's exactly what's happening. Our books are starting to get stacked up, where as of with this book, Hotshot coming out, we'll be at a total of 42 comic books. And we want people to be able to know where their book lands at in our release order, so they can keep up. There's breadcrumbs that we're dropping in stories that's leading up to a bigger event called the Zero Event that merges.
Okay.
And that's coming in Hotshot 24, and which is why I want to get more issues out for it. We've already got that script written, and
all of
it's are leading to this, because this will be, now we do things like soft crossovers and things like this, but this will be our first Earth cataclysmic event, and it will cross over with all of our characters. You know, you'll get some plugs, you get some cameos from other indie characters and things like this, but this is going to be our first like world shattering event where all of our heroes have to actually come together, and it'll be traveling through each one of our books.
See, that's awesome. I like that. You've got a massive plan. I mean, that's 22 issues ahead. or another 12 issues ahead, rather, on just Hotshot, plus all the other books that are going to be in between those issues. That's a lot of books ahead. Like, you're doing some writing out there.
I'm trying to, man. I'm a big fan of comic books. I'm a big fan of anime and manga, and you can't plan things like that unless you're actually like, you know what's going to happen, you know where you want these characters to go, because you have to egg that on and lead it to where it's going to be at. And it's also putting like a comic gun to my head that we've already got issue 24, so I need to get my ass to that issue.
I feel that. That's having those deadlines gives you a reason to push forward and make things happen. I wanted to ask about the structure. So like I was reading about, you know, everyone involved in the books. You've got Victor Dandridge, you've got Laurie, is it Foster?
Yes.
I was completely blank. I didn't know she existed up until about 4 months ago. Mm-hmm. It was a wild situation. You know, I got a, cause I had backed, Unlike the Heroes previously. And I got an email and it was like, oh, Laguna Studios, blah, blah, blah. You know, boom, boom. She kind of introduced herself. So I actually, that was my first news piece in the Catalyst magazine, because I was like, this is kind of like a cool, like newsworthy thing. Like if people aren't on this mailing list, you know, maybe they can find something out. And I thought that was really cool to kind of get to know this like behind the scenes person of all this stuff. And then I realized, I found a picture of her on one of the campaigns, and I was like, oh, holy shit. The Unlikely Heroes logo was a picture of her, which was freaking cool. I didn't know that. So like all this like behind the scenes stuff, but it's like, I know Victor. I've actually met him in person at C2E2 this year, which was awesome. And I know quite a few of the people involved. And how does this all come together? So on your material, you've got it, you know, Freestyle Comics since 1999. Mm-hmm. You know, the first Hotshot came out in 2004. How does this all, because, you know, I saw some branding with Short Fuse, you know, and you've been working with Fourth Wall, you know, Danny J. Quick. That's my dude. I love Danny. Danny's a hustler out here.
He is.
You work with a lot of different people. How does it all come together? Like, where did it start and where is it now, kind of thing?
Well, it started with Marvel Comics telling me no, that my style was too urban for them and it wasn't anything they were looking for. And I was back in, you know, around 2002, 2003 era. And me first going out to comic book conventions, and after sitting in my feelings for 24 hours, as my mom said, I got up and started getting on the phone with my friends and trying to figure out something else to do, because my plan has always been to work for Marvel Comics, and it wasn't happening. It wasn't doing the thing. And so I had a comic, you know, comic company name that I used. It was MJW Comics. It was just my initials. And I was on the phone with my friend. I'm like, that sounds stupid. Nobody uses their damn initials. I mean, anyone uses their initials for their company name, they're not. They don't have a lot of creativity. I'm not knocking anybody. I'm sorry. That's just how it is. And a comic book name should be super freaking creative. And he was like, dude, what are you talking about? You have your comic book name. I'm like, no, I don't. I wouldn't be on the phone with you right now. What are you talking about? He's like, what's your tag name? I was like, Freestyle King. He was like, well, what is a comic book? I was like, freestyle artwork and Freestyle Comics. I was like, oh my God, it's been sitting there the whole time. Because like to me, comic books, yes, you use reference and things like that, but for the most part, it is freestyle work. You're freestyling a story. And that was a thing that I was really good at in school, is that I could draw a lot of stuff without looking at reference. I would do a lot of freestyle battles. At my school, I went to an all art school, so we would just pull out our sketchbooks and do freestyle battles. And that's where my name came from, because I would win a lot of them. Was Freestyle King.
Okay.
Just putting those together, and then, you know, obviously swiping off the C4K for the King part and making it Freestyle Comics. So I've been working on comics and ideas and things since 1999. That's when FSK was established, and carrying that over into college, working on the character of Hotshot, getting with Vic, working on the story, getting the team together, work on that first volume one, issue one of the book. And that was a whole thing in its own. We did two issues, and then I believe we did a relaunch and we got to three issues. Then there was a delay. We got to issue four, issue five, and then we stopped. And then I think I got with a publisher. That was no good. That was no bueno. We left that publisher and started again. And then Short Fuse Media Group was there. I signed on with Short Fuse. It was a really good relationship with them. After about a year, I ended up being the publisher of Short Fuse. So I was managing all of their titles. And a couple of years after that, I just was like, I love what we've done here at Short Fuse. And I appreciate everything, but I want to go back on my own. It's a lot of work running a comic book publishing company. And I just wanted to do that for my own comic books or whatnot. And I wanted to see the brand of Freestyle Comics back out there. And so after leaving Short Fuse on a good note, started doing FSK again by myself. Well, not really by myself, but with the people that I've met and, you know, formed a team and bonds. But I've always been a person that likes to work with people. I enjoy, you know, I enjoy the back and forth, the networking and collaboration. So I've always, like, you know, reached out to like-minded individuals like a Danny J. Quick, a Victor Dandridge, Ren McKenzie. And I still talk to Sean, who ran Short Fuse Media Group, Mason Easley, Adam Fields, you know, just tons of people out here, Greg Anderson, Elise, you know, just, you know, trying to build these bonds and build this network. And I feel like, you know, there's enough people out here for us all to eat. So there shouldn't be anything wrong with us, you know, collabing or working together from time to time or just uplifting each other.
For sure. For sure. I'm a big believer in that. I've heard a lot of people talk about, oh, competition. You know, I've had Stokes on the podcast, and we talked about, you know, we as creators are competing for people's dollars. But I firmly believe that people are going to find the money to support the things that they like. So yeah. I think if your product is good, it doesn't matter. You're not necessarily competing against something else they also like. You know, me backing a Hot Shot book and me backing Ace Blade book, those aren't competing dollars the way I see it. Those are both things that I like, and I'm going to find a way to back it. So right. It's like, if it's like this time I can only jump on a single digital, that's all I'm going to jump on, you know, but I'm going to, or at the very absolute least, if I got no money, I'm going to share it, you know, like
yeah.
You're going to find a way to support the thing that you like, because I feel like, you know, there's been a lot of talk about comics are dying and all this stuff on Twitter. And I think people misunderstand what comics are. I think people think that comics are this like commodity when they're a vice. They're like things that we consume because we enjoy it. It's just a vice. It's just a different kind of vice. It's not liquor. It's not, you know, drugs or whatever. It's entertainment, right?
Yeah.
There's a reason that like romance novels have always been successful, because that's a vice that a certain group of people engage in regularly, regardless of what else is happening in their lives. Like, romance novels are never going to go out of fashion. Like, those are always going to be okay. So it's right, like right. Comic books will always be around. It's just going to be a little different. I think the majors are having to like learn that, right? They're having to learn that there is a different approach in 2023, 24 than there was in 1993, 94.
Absolutely agree with that. But yeah, I'm in the same mindset that I feel like there's plenty of people out there for all of us to be able to get some funds and build a fan base. And even if someone likes, say, you know, they like Ace Blade, they can also like Hotshot. There isn't a problem with that. Like you said, if you want it, you will find the money for it. I don't feel like I'm really like in competition with anybody, because like I'm just trying to find the people that like my books. I'm just trying to find that audience. That's not competition. That's me just trying to expand my audience, and I don't mind helping other people find their audience either, even if they're borrowing, you know, some people from on.
Right, exactly. Because and that audience is going to be in different places. You know, some people who are really deep into, let's say, Batman might be like, oh, you know, Hotshot's a little more positive, a little more bright of a series. You know, it's not this dark thing, brooding thing. I'm going to read this as well, right? It's a palate cleanser from the thing that they're deeply into. You know, there might be somebody who's deep into horror that's like, oh, okay, cool. This is like a superhero thing, not my usual thing, but they might still jump over. Like I've dabbled in some horror stuff. I'm not a big horror guy, not at all, actually. But like I've read some horror comics that are pretty good. Like I've had a good time reading them, you know? So it's like I'm not seeking out like every horror book. But like, you know, I'm not going to lie that every superhero book definitely catches my eye. I read the description at the very least on the campaign, you know, because I'm into superhero stuff. So it's like there are people who are in certain genres, but they'll dabble. They'll look at some other stuff. You know, right. you did the fantasy book. And I'm like kind of like mid on fantasy. Like it all kind of like feels the same in a lot of places. So I don't do a lot of fantasy stuff. But sometimes when it's the right combination, it's the right, like, interesting thing, I jump in. Like, I really like the fantasy book you put out.
Thank you. Like, yeah. I'm also not into horror at all, but we did a horror book this year. And that actually, it's on its way to the printers right now, so we can print our copies from, you know, just funded on Kickstarter.
Nice.
I wouldn't say it's full horror. It's our version of horror, but it is a horror book, and we jumped into that. You know, excited to see where that character goes and things like that. You know, I don't buy horror books. I don't watch horror movies, but I love Crescent City Monsters. And I buy
Crescent
that
City's
book.
So good.
It's such so a good book. Yeah. So it's like,
but again, like it's the approach. It's like the style of the book. A lot of that really takes you on a different ride than something, you know, like that. And like, it's the one that I read. What's this? Neil. It used to be T-Pub. It's called Twisted Dark. He's got like 7 or 8 or 9, 10 volumes. I don't even know. He's been doing this for a while. He's a British dude. I think he's just recently renamed it to like Neo Comics or something like that. Like he put his name on it. It's funny, kind of funny. You said earlier, like it should be something branded, but he put his full name on it. It's like, it's Neil. I forget his damn last name. Regardless, he put his name on, that's his comic book company now. But like, it's all like short anthology horror things, right? And they're interesting because they're all kind of weird and it's a little, you know, like twist. It's like, man, Twisted Dark, right?
Yeah.
But it's like, it's not your traditional like big monster in the woods kind of thing. Like there's always some sort of, it's more of like, what was that show? Like a Twilight Zone kind of thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
There's always like a weird thing going on as opposed to like just some outright like monster or creature or whatever. Which, not to say that there isn't a good time for a creature or a monster story. I watched this Santa Claus movie. It's like a Swedish movie about the Santa. It's called Rare Exports. I always forget the name, but today I'm remembering it for some reason. It's a weird movie, but it's like Santa shows up to this town, but it's not, he's not jolly. Let's just literally put it that way.
Not jolly.
He's not jolly. But yeah, it was one of those things. I watched it. I was like, all right, that's a weird thing we just watched. But like, it's always different. It's always different, you know. But like Scream, you know, the Scream franchise, nothing does nothing for me. I watched the first couple, absolutely. And I was like,
absolutely.
Like everyone has different tastes, and I think we focus too much on the people that are like super narrow on their tastes. Like there are people who are only horror. They just refuse to go outside of their genre. There are people who are only superhero. And they're going to just keep doing that, right? There's nothing you can do about that. But there is that group of people that just likes comics. Like, I'm a big comic book fan, you know? So I'll dabble. I always dabble. Sometimes you get into the best stories that way. Because sometimes you're going to get stuff that you don't expect. Like Crescent City Monsters. That's a big one. That's a big one for me. That was like I tried it. It was like, oh, you know what? Let me, because I think they had like the first issue for like $2.99 or something. And I was like, let me just grab the digital copy of this. See what's going on. Read it. I was like, damn. It hit me. I was like, okay. So I picked up the whole run digitally at the time. And then, you know, I bought the paperback and I ended up getting the hardcover because it's like, I'm into it, you know? Like,
same. Yeah. Like, I mean, key example, like you're going to spend the money on the things that you want to spend the money. You see something you like, you're going to buy it. You see something, you know, if someone pitches you something dope, you're going to buy it. Like that's the only thing that's ever holding people back. I know funds are tight and, you know, money isn't what, you know, easy coming as it used to be or whatnot. You know, everyone's kind of strapped for cash, but if you see something you want, you'll find the money for it and you'll buy it.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. It's I think it's less of a competition and more of just like finding your audience. Like you were saying, you're looking to find people who like Hotshot, who are into that book and that universe. It doesn't matter what else they're into. You're looking for those people who are going to be into it, regardless of what else they're doing. Like, essentially, it doesn't matter if they buy, let's say, Twisted Dark. You know, it doesn't matter if they buy Twisted Dark and that's been their thing and that's like been all of their graphic novels. They still might like what you've got to offer. So you're pitching to everybody looking for that core audience for your stuff. It doesn't matter if they're not into, I don't know, Superman. Like,
right.
With your broader universe, what, how do you navigate that exactly? So like in the first issue, there was that flashback with
Carla.
And I'm blanking on her name now.
Carla.
No, not the Vigilance. Girlfriend. The Vigilance. Vigilance. Man, I was like, V something. No, it's a V. Which I do, I gotta give you props for that. The costume is, it's like a double thing that you did there, and I really appreciate it because it's like I've got the first letter at all times, but it is still a really good design that it like it looks like a design, but it also is a letter. So it's like is a nice little subliminal. It's kind of like the Spawn thing, right? There's always the Malbolgia M on him. Like if you don't know, you don't know, but like you're always gonna remember Malbolgia.
Right. Yeah. So thank you. The Vigilance costume is one of my favorite costumes that we designed, and it's only been changed once from what it is today.
Oh wow.
It's been a long-standing design that has kind of gone the test of time or whatnot. I don't see us changing it anytime soon. But just bouncing and navigating things. We had this big idea that we wanted 100 issues of Hotshot to come out. And somebody made a point, well, it's taking you dang near 20 years to come out with 10 issues. So we got a long way to go. While it hurt a little bit hearing them say that, it was a very true statement. And me and our Danny and I, Danny, who's our editor-in-chief, we had to really kind of sit down and kind of think about how we are releasing content and how we're going to put these books out. And we decided that's where the verse order came from, is that we decided, well, we're just going to focus on one book at a time, and seeing how all these books are in the same universe and they're leading to our super big events. Like we have three big events, like kind of one in the beginning, one in the middle, and one to like end out the Hotshot series. So, and they're all unraveled in those. Then all the books need to lead us to those events. So that's what the verse order is about. And that is our way of getting to 100 comics. And probably this way we will get plus 100 comic books, as we are now at 42 comics right now. And the way that it wraps is just kind of like between whichever book is up, whichever book is the most completed, or, you know, because we have a couple creators that work with us, Charlie McElvey, Tony Clapper, Amelisa Sanchez. And they own their characters, they own their books, but they publish them through us.
Sure.
So I'm always, you know, in meetings and, you know, when we have our chat checking in to see when they're going to release their content. Charlie's like a machine. He's constantly coming out with stuff. So we just try to be self-aware when he's dropping stuff. So we're available to support, and things like that. Tony's book, Five Star, is very much so engrossed in the, FSK universe. So his book kind of just falls in the order of I just actually planned all of our releases. I'd say at least 80% of our releases, because we might have a couple more things if we can pull things off right. But I just planned it for all the 2024. So went over that a few times, just figure out where the lay of the land of the books will be at. And then we just shoot for that. And that'll be our verse order as those things come out. Danny and I kind of like, well, there's no kind about it. We know the most information about FSK. So now that we know that those books are coming out, when we are getting those stories and those characters and action things, we just kind of look at it and then we're like, all right, where can we start placing the breadcrumbs on this map? Like we know what's going to happen in this story, but now where is the, you know, what's the glue that's going to pull these things together? So we very much so try to focus individually on each story first. And then we're like, all right, well, we got destination here. How can Five Star help us get there? What plug or what character? What are we doing in Five Star that can be mentioned here? Travis Gibb, who was fantastic. I did Hospice. I did Cthulhu with him and everything. Anything Travis does, I try to make sure I can get in there with him. Travis is now writing the new issue of Hotshot. You know, he wrote, so when we write our stories or whatnot, I always kind of budget for 24 pages, but I leave two of those pages empty for some things I may need to use for filler to keep us going. And Travis wrote a 22-page story, and he got to have a lot of fun with that, a lot of freedom and creativity with that. And so I read it over. I'm like, you know, little thing here, little thing here. Can we add this here? And he was like, yeah, that's real easy. Obviously, because I'm trying to be inclusive of the actual verse. And then I was like, yeah, this is a really solid issue. I enjoy it. I will probably add a page here for this hospital scene because there's connections to the rest of the world that we're trying to make. In specific, Mike goes to go see Carla in the hospital. Travis didn't write that scene. I was like, so I got a budget for two pages. I'm gonna use that page to write that scene in there where Mike goes to see Carla, because in the previous issue, Carla is sick and we don't know why. We don't know what's going on with her. So that's a nice plug to keep the unity, keep it moving forward while acknowledging the previous issue. Like, we have all this new content, but we're still keeping the verse alive in there. And then the second page I'm going to plug is going to be the breadcrumb page that's leading to Zero Event Emergence.
So you're looking at the whole story like bored, and you're like, all right, where are we putting the Thanos cameo in? Where's the post credit scene coming in? Because you gotta put those in. And I like that. See, I'm a big fan of like an orchestrated story, and it works the best when it's definitely like pre-planned that way. That's why I'm a big fan of the Dan Slott run in Spider-Man, because he was like, all right, I'm going to make Dr. Octopus becomes Peter Parker. Here's how I'm going to run that. You know, here's how I'm going to just, ran that back. And I didn't know, but when it hit, all of the breadcrumbs connected in my brain. I was like, oh, shit. So that's when it's the best, when you have that full, like, it was laid out, it was in front of you, but you didn't see the whole picture, so you were just seeing bits and pieces, and now you're just like, oh man, I finally see it all in one piece.
Yeah,
so I like that. I'm a big fan of that. What kind of pushed you to diversify outside of the verse, the Hotshot universe, like the fantasy and the hospice? Like, that's such an interesting project that you guys did. That was, it's like an anthology, but not all in one book, but it's in separate books, but you all worked in the same framework of this hospital.
Mm-hmm. Two things. First, I'm always trying to think, how can we expand our audience and how can we be inclusive of other people's audience? And second thing, I want to put out more fucking books. I don't want to be the only, person shouting at the rooftops about FSK and what we have coming out. And it just so happened that, I have a good run where I have all this kind of experience that I've gathered working in the indie community, that I have found very like-minded people that I want to work with, that I think can elevate Freestyle Comics, but also we can help elevate them as well. And when I see people like that, I'm like, I want to bring them aboard and be a part of things, be a part of the stuff. Charlie McElvey, for example, I just like the way that dude works. He gets busy, man. Charlie, me and Danny talk about this a lot. Like, he just gets busy. I told Charlie, I was like, I would love to have you on the Freestyle Comics. I don't think you need us, Charlie. I don't think you need us at all. But I love your characters, and I would love to publish your books if that's something that you're interested in. And he was. He, Charlie likes what we do, and he likes the unity that we have over here, but also, in our deal, Charlie still gets to go off and publish his books his way under his publishing label, but also he has lent us the publishing rights to his characters. So in that relationship, we can use his characters in our crossovers or whatnot, and vice versa, he can use us in his crossovers. We found a little string or something that would allow us to share those characters. Tony, I worked with Tony over at Short Fuse. Tony lives like an hour away from me in Ohio. And so each other at a lot of conventions, and it was like, well, we should partner up because we both go to shows and we're super close. Why don't we partner up with our characters and things like that? And we never really got to expand on that relationship in Short Fuse. So we were able to do that in FSK, and Tony wanted to come over here. We wanted Tony to come. We love his character. And again, I do like, having that close relationship with someone that is not living too far away from me, that can hit these shows with me, and we can also split up with that FSK flag. But he was very adamant about putting his character in the world of Freestyle Comics. So Five Star exists with Hotshot and Vigilance. And like, the cameos are, we do a lot of soft crossovers. Like, Five Star is in the new issue of Hotshot. that I'm working on right now, and they get into an argument, and they kind of have a they butt heads or whatnot. And Danny Cooper really worked a whole lot with Tony on blending his world with the Freestyle Comics world. And I'll admit, it is a lot of work to bring those two things together. And you know, I got to give a shout out to Tony for being as flexible as he has been. And we're always just checking, like, you sure this is what you want to do? Because this is a lot, blending your characters in with ours. And you know, we have a lot of rules in our world. But he was up for it, and I think we're getting some really cool stuff with Five Star. Five Star is already a great book. We just finished that Five Star number 2 and number 3, and I'm like, these cameos are really banging in Five Star. they really look really good. And then Elisa Sanchez is just, she's just a super fan who was on a Kickstarter, and she got a cameo cover, and I drew her character for it, one of these cameo covers, and she sent me all this reference for a character. I was like, damn, this is a lot of pinup work for this character. Where's the book at? She hasn't had a book for him. And then she sent me a trailer for a character, fully animated trailer. And I was like, I want your character. Can we put your character in the books? Because she had too much lore. She had too much art. She had too much stuff with the character. And she's always wanted to do a comic book. And I was like, well, let's do it. Let's find a way to make it work and bring your character in. So Alyssa's character is also in the FSK verse. And she's one of our flagship characters along with Five Star and Spider Squirrel and stuff like that. I like working with people. I like bringing on. And, you know, I guess the overall encompassing theme and idea is when people come up to our table, I don't want anyone to walk away empty-handed. There is at least one comic on our table that is aligned with you. And if we don't have it, we're going to get it eventually.
And that's smart. That's smart. That goes back to what we were saying before. There's various different types of audiences, and you might have somebody that walks over for your fantasy book that's like, oh, the art on this Hotshot book is really interesting. Let me look at this too. So like the crossover could exist that you don't even know yet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. So I wanted to ask you, so you created Hotshot, but the first issue was written by Victor Dandridge. This latest issue was written by Travis. How do you, as the creator, as a writer myself, I have a sense of ownership of these characters, and I have an idea of what these characters look like and sound like and act like. I don't know at this point. Granted, I'm still very early in it. You know, I'm just about to put out my first project. So like, I haven't, you know, established what they look like. And maybe once I do, it'll be different. But like, how do you give up the control of what's happening? Like, how do you give up, hey, you write what's happening for this issue of my character? Like, how do you do that?
Well, I don't know if I've given up full control of it, but I guess I can blame it on Victor. Victor was one of the first people to tell me that my writing sucks. and that was eye-opening because I didn't get that thread or that type of honesty until I came to Columbus at the Columbus College of Art and Design. And I appreciated it very much because then it made me look at myself and realize I can't do everything, or I can't do everything yet. And I need to understand, or I needed to understand at that time, that I need to do the things that I am good at, and the other things I need to find a comfortable level of acceptance with and move on. But if I want this book to be great, I'm going to have to find people that are stronger in the things that I'm weaker in. And once Victor wrote those first issues of Hotshot, I knew, you know, having a writer on there that was far stronger than me was the thing to do. Victor breathed, the way he breathed life into those characters wasn't something that I could do at that moment. And all honestly, it's not anything that I am doing now, because I can't write like Victor. I have to write like Michael Watson. I have to write to my strengths. And Victor's strengths are voice. And, you know, unique voice to each character, which I love about his writing. Once, you know, you work with somebody like that, and then you see that product come to life like that, you understand that you're not the end of everything. And you should learn to give up some control to get the better product. It's like what I say about George Lucas. George Lucas is an incredible idea man, but he's a shit director. He should never direct those movies. He should have just been the overseer and the idea person, because he created an amazing world that everyone can play in, and they come up with much better stuff than him. And I have no faults in owning up to that, or, you know, living in that world. But at certain points, I took the writing back over. I took the writing over at a certain point, because there's like stuff that I had to tell in specific. There was, you know, things that I had to describe, things that I had to get out there. And I think, you know, my writing for those stories worked. Travis and I worked together a lot. And I kind of, you know, I look at myself with Travis, like if Travis has a spot or he has an empty slot or somebody drops off, he'll be like, hey, Mike, can you fill this void in for me real quick? That's a couple pages. Can you knock it out? I'm like, yeah, I got you. And, you know, I've done that a few times for Travis. And at the kindness of his heart, he was like, man, I'm gonna write you a hot talk script. But Travis knows our world is a very big world. So, you know, he wrote the story, and, you know, obviously he was just like, you know, room for edits. You know, I know you and Danny work your FSK magic. You know, I'm giving you a template. You know, I'm giving you a skeleton right now. You know, kind of like do the hair, do the makeup on it and everything like that, to make it, you know, work for the FSK book. And Travis is a strong writer, so there wasn't too much that we had to tweak. I mean, literally there was five minor things that I asked. And that was stuff that I was like, we can fix that in lettering. And, you know, and it was just a really smooth relationship. On Emerald Quest, I love Emerald Quest. Emerald Quest is very, I mean, all the books are close to me. I mean, damn, I've been rocking them for so long. Emerald Quest has seen several different phases of life. And it's seen three writers already. And finally, I got to the point where it kept, like, looking like it was going to happen, and it didn't. It looked like it's happening, and it didn't. And finally, I said, well, I'm just going to have to write Emerald Quest. If I want Emerald Quest to come out the way that I want it to come out, I'm going to have to write it. And I've been writing it. I've written it for 4 issues. And but Emerald Quest is getting to the point to where it is right now, where I was like, I don't have the time to put in the care that I need to do the writing. Like, there's a level of writing that we're approaching with Emerald Quest that I don't have the time to study for. So I need to hire out somebody else who is a much stronger writer than I am, that can handle an ensemble cast of characters. And that's when Brian J. Lambert come in. And he is amazing. I've read his work. I'm a fan of his work.
Brian's cracking out here. I'm excited.
Yeah.
This new stuff. Yeah. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, he wrote his first issue. He's coming in on issue 5. He wrote that, and all I sent back to him was like, banger. Banger. That was it. I mean, couple minute tweaks or whatnot, but he knocked it out the park. And you know, I'm self-aware of my strengths and my weaknesses. I want to be able to write like that, but I know to be able to write like that, I need to put in the time and work. The same way that I draw, I would have to put in that time and work to be able to write like that. And right now, I don't have that time, because I'm running the Freestyle Comics Company. We have 14 titles, and I'm trying to go from putting out 7 titles this year to putting out 20 titles next year. So,
whoa. Well, I was expecting you to be like, you said 7. I was like, he's going to say 10. 15 would have blown my mind. 20. Who? You're damn near tripling your output in 1 year. All right, sir.
We're also cheating though. Three or four of those books are going to be trades, which I already collected things of.
I mean, but that's still like, you got to put the campaign out, and I'm presuming you're doing campaigns for this stuff. Yeah. So like, yeah, you still got to put the work in. It's at least, let's say, at the very minimum, it's a month of work. So yeah. It all matters, man. It all counts. That's a lot of work. But that's still, what, 17 titles? Like, that's not small potatoes. Damn, 17 titles. That's more than a monthly book. That's more than a monthly, you know, traditionally published book. So, like, you're putting in work. You're putting in work. 2024, year of FSK, right?
We're trying to, man. We want to continue being recognized as an outstanding publisher. And part of my motivation is, I don't think enough people are talking about us. I don't think we're in enough conversations. When people are thinking of other publishers or thinking about books or creatives, I don't think our name comes up enough, and I want to change that.
Okay. Okay. I feel that. And I'll have to agree with you. You know what? That is like as much content as you've created, as much work as you've put out, yeah, I will have to say I don't hear your name often enough. Mm-hmm. Like, because conversations happen, but you know, you hear occasionally you hear about a Victor Dandridge, but like Danny's out there hustling. Danny's out there hustling. So he's on TikTok every single day. The algorithm today, I was scrolling and the algorithm served me a video from September from him. Cause it's like, you watched all his new stuff. Here's some more shit from before. So it's like, he's putting in that work. And that's why I think that's one of the big platforms that I think a lot of people are not putting a lot of work in. That's why, honestly, when I see you on there, I was like, I'm fucking glad to see you putting in some work on TikTok. Cause it's like, it shows up. It really does show up. You know, like I get on like Twitter, and you know, the shit show of Twitter that behind the scenes nonsense, but like just on comic Twitter, which is where I hang out, really indie comic Twitter, like it's Stokes, it's Charlie, like you said, Charlie putting in that work. Mm-hmm. Like it's like seven people. It's like the same seven people. There's hundreds of people that, you know, have Twitters, but they're not doing that, the quantity of work that is necessary to get in front of people. Because it's like, because the Twitter algorithm's like, oh, you're more likely to interact with this, so here you go. So as opposed to, if you give me 50, like I've gotten into like 15 different arguments with Stokes, so it's always going to feed me a Stokes tweet. Like, it's like, you're going to fight with Stokes, here's some more Stokes shit, you know, like. So like the algorithm's always looking for the viewer to give them the most interaction on the platform. So that's why I genuinely like when I see people that I know have a TikTok but just don't put a lot of work on TikTok. I like seeing it, because it's like when I see you, when I saw TJ jump on TikTok, I was like, fuck yeah, goddamn right, about time for TJ to show up on TikTok. And it's like, you know, his first stuff was sharing stuff that people had already talked about his work, you know. And it's like, this stuff is already out there, people are already talking about the work, and that's the real stuff we need to, you know, look for. That was actually my little editorial in the last issue of Catalyst. Is I was talking about, instead of these like rushes to get 100 pre-saves and all this other stuff, we need everyone to get to a point of having 1,000 true fans. That's a thing that a lot of these like YouTube people, a lot of like gurus talk about, oh, you got to have 1,000 true fans because you can sell anything to 1,000 people. So if you get 1,000 people who are really into your shit, 1,000 people at $5 a pop, that's $5,000.
Absolutely.
But there's just no way around that. And not all, and some of those 1,000, most of those 1,000 realistically are going to buy physical. So they're going to put more than $5 on the table. Mm-hmm. Like, there's just no way around that. Like, you just got to get those 1,000 people. And you know, you're doing shows, obviously. You come out to Chicago for shows, like you're putting in a lot of work at shows. But I think we gotta get you to do more on TikTok. Oh, did you set up your store on TikTok?
My store is set up on TikTok. I gotta get like, and I'm falling back from some of my other streaming shows, just so I can have the freedom to jump on TikTok more. You know, it's that balance of trying to balance life, you know. Home life, work life,
sure.
Store set up. I got all the books on there. I mean, there's some, the newer books aren't on there yet. I gotta get the new ones up there. But you know, every once in a while, it's popping up like every other day. Bing, someone's bought some books. Bing, someone's bought some books. You know, shipping that stuff out. But I want to get back to streaming live on there. Get back into my fights. That's where I get into my fights. I get into my fights on TikTok. So I think TikTok is, I've seen more growth quicker than any other social media that I've been on. TikTok is great.
Yeah, I mean the engagement there is the realest, because people are immediate. You don't have to leave the platform to send it to somebody. That's a big one. I think that's a big one that's underestimated by a lot of the other platforms. Mm-hmm. That if I send someone a TikTok, I'm sending it to them almost 100% of the time. I'm sending it to them in the TikTok messenger. They're opening TikTok, they're watching through that, and then they're watching through a million other things, because that's just how it works. So the engagement is the realest there. Like I've seen, I mean, there's a dude who I've been trying to get on a podcast, talk to him about his book, but I don't think he's going to do it. I think he's a little afraid of being challenged, because he used AI to generate the artwork for his book. And he's a little scared to talk about it live with somebody, you know, to actually have a discussion. because he doesn't have to answer a comment. You know, he doesn't have to answer a comment on a video, but right. if he's on camera with somebody, he's got to answer something. So,
right.
But there's people like that, but like he's an example of somebody who he's pushed out. I think he said something about like 4,000 copies of his book, and at like $15 to $20 a pop. That's a lot of fucking dollars.
It is.
That's a lot of dollars. So like, because you know TikTok wants their cut, so they're gonna feed. I mean, every other fucking every time I swipe, every third or fourth swipe is somebody with a TikTok shop. Now, for me, because the algorithm, it's mostly people who sell comic books. So for me, I'm not really hurting much because I'm still getting the same kind of shit. But like, I get the people who get frustrated with it. But that's why the TikTok algorithm is the best, because it only feeds you, like it'll try to get you into some other shit.
Yeah. But
once you don't interact with it, it's like, nah, here's some more comic book shit. Like, it took me, because I was, when I first started, I was like, this is going to be some like dancing bullshit. I'm not really into this, whatever. And then I saw somebody, I don't even know who it was, but like, you know, somebody was talking about some X-Men shit or Batman shit or whatever. And I like commented and I liked it or whatever, you know, the whole thing. And then it was like, oh, here's some more comic book shit. And within 3 days, it was all comic books. Mm-hmm. I get served one dance video. I follow, I think, 3 people who do dancing just because I really, really dig their shit. They do incredible choreography. And I don't get served that, but maybe once a day. Everything else is comic books. It's like people doing nerd fights, you know, all sorts of dumb shit.
Yeah.
Like, you know, all the dumb shit that we're into, you know, like, so and then of course, like social, like stuff that like real world stuff that's happening. I interact with a lot of that because the world is a fucked place for the most part. So that I got a bunch of that as well. So it's the best but like on Instagram, I don't get almost any comic book stuff. I know people make them. I know people make reels, but they don't come to me, even though it knows everything I follow. I would say probably 70 to 90% of the stuff that I follow on Instagram is all comic. It's comic book artists, companies, everything. The algorithm's like, nah, you like food and like funny cat shit. And it's like, you're stuck there. Like, you're not going anywhere else. Like,
yeah,
I don't see no art. I don't see nothing on Instagram. Like, the two feeds could not be more different.
Yeah, I've tried to get back into Instagram. We have our interns starting next month, so I'm just gonna have them posted on there on a regular basis, just like regular stuff that we need to post, like Wednesday, where you can get our comics, and here's Hotshot, here's Vigilance, who's that? Just regular Film Stopper stuff, but the plan is to deep dive back into TikTok and interact with more creators, engage in more arguments, and do more live streams selling the books. And the thing that I've kind of been holding back for is I've got access to the live feature and everything, and I've got access to the live feature for the desktop, but it's not for Mac. It's only for PC. And if I had that for Mac, I can set up my window the way I need. Cause like when I do live, I like showing like the stuff on my computer. I like drawing.
Yeah. But you should be able to do that through OBS. OBS is on Mac.
Well,
I'm gonna need to make a video about this because I feel like people are sleeping on the OBS desktop feature.
OBS is dope and it's great that it's free. It's just so complicated. But I think this is TikTok's OBS. And
I mean, I know they've got their interface for it. But
they're the only ones that have it. But I guess if you are doing this type of stuff on OBS, I guess I could do a setup.
Yeah, you could do a desktop because the OBS doesn't care if it's a Mac, so it's a direct connection to their API. I'm gonna have to do a video because I have a tech channel, and I feel like this is something I've been sleeping on. This is something that I've needed to make a video on for a while.
No, you absolutely need to, because I have OBS, but I stopped using OBS because it's so much to learn.
There's a lot. Yeah, if you don't know exactly where to click, you're gonna spend a whole day just clicking around trying to find stuff.
Yeah, so if I can use my OBS to set up my TikTok, because like I tried to do, I had it set up on my desktop. Like I had my phone aimed at my desktop, and then they dinged me because nobody was moving. But like I was showing artwork, I was drawing on Clip Studio. Like, that's the stuff. That's how I engage with the audience. And I can talk, I can hold a conversation, but I want those tools, because if I could show them, like, if I could show, drop a trailer in there and show them the trailer for the comic book and then show them how I draw Hotshot, like, that's how I can build engagement. So that's kind of what I've been waiting for. So I guess I just need to go to YouTube.
You know what? I was wondering why I was the like gamer stuff that I see once in a while, why they made like, because they used to be just games, but now it's all games with like the person's face above that.
Yeah.
You know what? I guess I didn't know that they were dinging you if you weren't on camera, which, I mean, I guess it makes sense because they don't want you to like game the algorithm and just put like live on and just walk away.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, people do different stuff, like, especially art. Like, most people, what are you going to see? You're going to see the dude's face while he's real focused on his artwork. Like, that's not really entertaining, but
it's not like, from the times that I've gone live, they enjoy when I do the drawing. Like, they buy the shit the same night that I get finished with it. So I definitely want to get back into it. So I'm just gonna have to watch some YouTube videos and figure out OBS thing, because I want, our TikTok shop was booming. Obviously it's not because I've been consistent, but if I can get that TikTok shop back to where it's just generating, you know, people are just seeing the videos and hitting my live streams and getting it, that's what I want. I want, you know, to generate, get that popping like our website.
I like that. That's a good idea. I mean, it's I don't know, you know, I don't know what the cut is. I'm a big fan personally. You know, this clip isn't gonna go on TikTok, but I'm a big fan of, if somebody does have some shit for sale, I'm gonna go to their profile, I'm gonna go to the link, and I'm gonna go to their website if at all possible. Just because I know I'm gonna take out that percentage they're gonna lose from, you know, the TikTok transaction. That's just cause I'm conscious of that stuff on the back end. You know, I've built website stores, and I know every stage of that is a percentage. You know, the PayPal is a percentage. You know, I'm sure TikTok is a percentage on top of that. You know, it's all a lot of percentages that get cut out of your actual bottom line, and like, shit still costs money to make and print and ship.
No, you're right. And right now, I can honestly say that doesn't bother me right now, because obviously I don't have the outlets to negate that. You know, I would be more concerned about that if we were selling thousands upon thousands of books every day or whatnot.
We want to get you there, though.
Yeah, we want to get there.
With 20 new books in 2024, you're about to get there. I mean, let's look at it. Let's say you get a minimum, which I'm confident you're going to get more than 100. But let's say you only get 100 backers per campaign. That's 2,000 people. Like, 2,000 transactions. That's 2,000 packages shipped. And that's 2,000 people presuming they only get one thing. Only gets one thing? I don't see a lot of numbers. You know, no more than 10 or 20 people get just one thing. They're getting the bundle. They're getting the back catalog. Like myself, like I don't know which campaign it was on, but I got you had the number ones. And I was like, oh, I'm going to get the whole number ones, and I can like kind of dive into the universe and learn about all the characters. So this time I got to get caught up, right? So got to have that. And look, I'm going to tell you, just like I tell everybody, every add-on for every tier, you let me decide how much I want to spend. You make your tiers and, you know, do the stuff that you want. But I believe that if I want to buy a single digital copy, but then I want to add on the first trade and the trading cards and whatever else you got, let me make that decision.
Well, yeah, we definitely got, I made a lot of add-ons for this Kickstarter, so you definitely can't add on whatever you want.
Just make sure they're available on the physical rewards are available on the digital tiers as well, because especially for people like myself, like, I'm going to want all three trades, but since you're going to be doing volume 3 trade coming up, is that going to be 9, 10, 11, and 12?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So that's going to be a bigger volume.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're 42. So how many books do you think it's going to be total in the verse line by the time you hit that the crossover, like right before the crossover?
Ooh. Well, Hotshot's 12 issues away from it. And then that crossover is going to be an 8-part story. I feel like We are going to Vigilance is on issue 4. I feel like we'll have 4 or 5 more issues of Vigilance, 3 more issues of Heroes International. Cypher is run by interns. We might get another 20, 25 books before we hit Hotshot 24.
So that'd be, I'd call it 70 books.
Isn't that yeah. right?
And that's when you do the freestyle omnibus.
We've been talking about it. We've been talking about it.
Freestyle omnibus volume 1.
Yeah. We that's been thrown around.
The shipping on that's gonna be wild though. The shipping costs on that will be insane. You're gonna have to get that one from China. You're gonna have to get that one printed in China for the pricing to work, man. No, that's the way to do it. Because I'm a big fan of collected editions and like well put together collected editions, especially when you've got something like this where the whole interactivity of it is planned out. Like that's just gonna feel good reading it. Like I'm a big fan. Like I'm mad omnibuses. Like I've got Fatal Attractions over here. I got The Wedding of Cyclops and Phoenix, The X Factor, like all that shit. I got my whole X-Men Avengers shelf over there. And like actually I think it's bent or it's bookended now, but there's what's it called? Divinity okay. from Valiant. Great fucking book. But I've got the omnibus, reads beautifully, you know. Like I like a good omnibus that is fluid. It reads well throughout that. I think your universe, because it's so intentional in the way it's put together, I think will be a great omnibus.
See, and I appreciate that. And I think when we do that, though, we would need to add more pages because I would like to do something like that. I would want it to truly have flow and connection.
If you're gonna make it exclusive like that, this the full story never before seen. You're gonna get mad sales on that. You're getting nuts sales on that, man. That's gonna be crazy. You know, you already got my money for that. I'm already sold. You're not even there yet. No, that's really cool. So like I'm gonna be picking up the trades when you do the volume 3. I'll get all 3 trades. I do want to bring up something. Mm-hmm. You've got your digitals the same price as your physicals on your site. Yeah, you got. I was like, oh, you know what? Let me grab because I really dug issue 1. Like, and I was like, hey, you know what? I'm behind. Might as well grab me a couple issues of the digital. Get a few more issues. And I was like, $10 a pop. Hold on a second. Because then you had the volume. The volume 1 was also $10, and I was like, wait a minute. this mathematics doesn't mathematic.
No, that math's not math, and that should not be. We will have our Webster's fix that. So thank you for letting me know that. I did not know they were on there.
I happened to catch it. I was like, hey, let me just, you know, because like I said, the first issue was really, I love that. Where it's like, it turns around, it's like, this is just not fair. And I was like, no, it's not. That's about to be a bad day.
Yeah, no, we will fix that because that's not supposed to be it. So.
But yeah, like you have, man, I like the it's a bright universe. It's you've got really well-designed characters. Like Hotshot, I'm a big fan. Like I already have in issue 1, I've got questions about his suit. I was like, all right, what's going on with the suit? Like, cause if my first thought was maybe it's part of his power, you know? And then I read the first issue and I was like, wait a minute. She said that's a suit, but his mouth moves. How's the suit work? So now I've got like technical questions, but then I saw that it got broken and damaged and almost like looked like armor. And I'm like, wait, I need to know how this thing works. Where's the schematics? Give me the schematics.
Well, the schematics of the suits is it's a heat resistant suit and it's activated by his powers. And then the thing that I kind of envisioned, that mask, when he puts it on, he heats up and it like shrinks to his face. Almost like when Spider-Man hits that button. Swells down, the heat causes it to retract to his skin. And that way he can move it around his mouth and stuff like that.
Oh, that's, see, you know, I didn't even catch that. I mean, obviously that makes perfect sense because his name is Hotshot. His powers are heat-based. I didn't catch that in the first issue. Because I was like, I mean, he's got flying, obviously. He's got enhanced durability. I didn't see like a big expression of power, at least not one that I caught. Maybe I was just reading too fast, but I was like, you know, I didn't think about that until just now. Like, I didn't really see like a full expression of his power. But Hotshot, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, you don't see a full expression of his power until issue two. And we didn't want it to be flamey like fire characters and stuff like that. His heat is more, you know, it's focused. It's
like microwave.
Like a microwave heat or something like that. But you know, there will be levels to his powers that he gets, different things that he'll start to explore with it, like with different types of heat, like different, because you know, like, you know, there's white heat, there's the blue heat, there's orange, you know, so there'll be color changes, and then, you know, his powers will be leaned in or tied into his emotions as far as how it's visually seen, or whatnot, like we're in issue 13 and now he has won't you see issue 12, he's going to figure out that he has a good a portion of control over his powers.
Okay.
Now he's going to be using them. His interpretation of how he uses them is going to be different now.
All right. See, I like that. I like that, you know, even though it seems like, because I read the, you know, the synopsis for the new issue, and I was like, wait, I'm like, we're 13 or 12 issues in, and he still doesn't have control over his power, which then automatically kind of ran my mind with like, he's facing off the Void, which right off the bat to me seemed like a really ridiculously powerful villain. And I was like, he doesn't have full control then. And then he's fighting him. That's game one of the series. How is these other 11 issues about to go for him? So I'm real excited to read that, man. It's a really, I like that. I like, it's orchestrating. I like the orchestrating stuff, man. I'm a big fan of that.
We're trying, man. We are trying very much. And, you know, I pick up notes from stuff that I'm a fan of. You know, Victor knocks on the door. I knock on Victor's door every once in a while. Get his feedback. Danny and I are, you know, forever talking, constantly talking and, you know, looking at how we can make things better and trying to keep things on track. I mean, we've got the whole thing. We got Hotshot laid out. I know what's happening all the way up to the 100th issue or whatnot.
But, oh, wow. You know, okay.
I've gone back and changed things within the first 50 issues of, you know, where we're going and things like that. And, you know, there's all these, there's these moments that I can't wait to get to. And I know I'm not going to be able to get to them unless I put out more books. So we got to get more content out. And like, and that was the thing, right? Like, he's fought Void for 7 issues. We did a Dino Girl crossover. Then there's a one shot, and now he's in another 4-part story. So I've got to get more issues out so we can get more stories out, so we can get more characters involved. If you read issue 9, you know Void is still around. So there is going to be a rematch, but there's other things going on in the darkness. Like I said, we drop breadcrumbs. So if you are reading the book and you're like really paying attention to our panels, you're going to notice there's something that we keep putting in the book that is, you know, and that's going to lead up to another big kind of like event in there. And so I'm excited about, you know, drawing that, but being able to say that we have a co-artist now, and we're going to be in tandem drawing every other issue of Hotshot.
So okay.
Books out.
Nice. I like that. It is that something that's already been announced? Is that something you could bring up the name or?
Oh, Teo. Teo is one of our artists attending CCAD out of our internship program. Teo did very well in the internship, and we graduated him up to one of our artists on one of our stories, killed that story. And the decision was just made between me and Danny of talking. And I was like, I want to put out more of these books, so I want to put Teo on the other issue. I think Teo will do great at it. So, yeah, that's something that we've already announced. We announced the FSCon. And here in a couple of days, Teo and I will be, I'll be starting the layouts for issue 13 and Teo will be starting the layouts for issue 14.
That's, man, that's really cool. See, that's, I like that. That reminds me of like the era of the X-Men when they had two books and you had the two artists and you was like every other week, basically you were getting an X-Men book and it was great. It was a great time.
It absolutely was.
I like that. That's cool. See, how did you get, like, so you're talking about, you have a intern program. How does that work for the interested out there? How does that work? Or is it just for artists? How does it all work?
Well, I go to my school, Columbus College of Art and Design. I looked up the program and what the requirements were, and I saw that I fit the requirements. Everything that they need from a company to be established and things like that, I can fill those gaps in. What I can provide for them, I can all the questions they need, I can answer. So it was just me filling out the paperwork and then announcing that we are accepting interns, and they have like an open house kind of thing they do every November. I attend there, I get resumes and interview people, and we got nine new students coming in on January 10th to get them rolling on making comics and stuff like that. It's a very it's a lot. Teaching them, they do about 15 hours a week of work with us for till May. We'll have them till May 1st. But it is open to, well, the fashion, 3D design, illustration, fine arts, animation. It's open to the entire school, all the students there and things like that. I haven't opened it up to anybody else. We had a couple high school students in our program before, but it's also a living, growing thing. So there are no nothing's definitive as far as who I let in or who gets to be a part of it. I'm just mainly looking for people that are enthusiastic about wanting to work in comics, or just to learn how to be a creative in general, and as willing to do the work. So,
That's awesome. That's really, really cool. I mean, I know when I was going to art school, that would have been a dope internship to jump on. So that's great that you're providing that opportunity to the students there. That's really cool. I guarantee that you're gonna have a good selection every year, because there's always the gems, man. There's always the gems every time. When I was at school, three or four guys were just like, damn, like you're sitting there and I'm like, I'm not even gonna try anymore. You guys are just killing it. Like, you guys got this. I did my thing. I still have my art books, my sketchbooks from that era, but it's like I realized, I think at that point, that I'm like, I'm never gonna be a production quality artist. Because I feel like there's a certain quality requirement that to be able to put stuff out. And I just don't have it. I can't draw a symmetrical figure to save my life. I've tried many times. Somebody always ends up with like a mutated arm or like a robot arm, just something that I don't have to make it look the same. I just don't have it. My brain doesn't work that way. So I was like, you know what? I'm cool. I'm okay with doing like some concept stuff, and I'll do the writing. But there's always those gems, man. There was a couple artists that. There's one dude, one of my best friends. The dude is fantastic. He does graphic design for like a beer company, a coffee company. He does a ton of work. He's won awards, like done gallery shows for years, like killing it, killing it. Like, I was sat next to him, and I was like, well, I see where you're going, and I see where I'm going. We're not going to the same place.
Well, yeah, so I think you can do that. It's just like I said, it's a thing of, do you have the time and the want to devote to be able to eventually do it? So, and that's always the thing, because when I teach class or I'm working with students, I always tell them, like, we don't say can't in this room, because you just haven't done it yet. That's all that is. Yeah, or you have to decide if it's something that you want to pour the focus and time into. I made that decision when I was young. I made that decision in sixth grade. I wanted to draw comics. So I devoted that time to learn how to draw, to strengthen my craft of drawing, to learn everything I can to be a comic artist. And I want to be a super strong writer. But I also realized that the time that it takes to do that is the same amount of time that I would have to put into my drawing. And I don't have that. I don't have that to do at this moment. But I've still taken on the challenges of writing and things like that. So I know where my gauge is. But one of my teachers told me, you got to do the thing that you do really good, and you got to do that to 150%. And then everything else, you got to find an acceptable work level, or you're going to kill yourself. You're going to be overworked, and you're going to be spent and out of energy and just dead to the world. So you got to find an acceptable level. And and I know where all my acceptable levels are. So
that's good, man. That's good to have those bars where you could be like, hey, I'm gonna put in this many hours on this today, and that's it. That's all I'm gonna put in today. That is where I'm gonna focus, because any more and I'm gonna, as that's the whole day is shot for me because I'm overworking myself. I think a lot of people try to pursue 6-7 things at the same time, and they fuck themselves in the long run.
Like, yeah, and that's what my teacher saw me doing in college. And he was like, yeah, man, I gotta sit you down for a second. You're gonna fucking burn out, man. I mean, so yeah, you gotta know your limits and know where you want to expel that time at.
That's what's up, yeah. I'm the George Lucas of comics. The way you said it, you know, I'm gonna be the idea guy. I'm gonna come up with a bunch of shit. I got mad concept, like words, like notes. I've got stories upon stories upon stories. So for me, it's like getting to financing, getting artists. That's the only two things I'm worried about, because I got stories. I got mad stories. So that's been my biggest challenge personally. This last year is, as I was finishing this first novella, which is like a prequel to my first comic series, I was like, I'm going to do this novella because I can't afford an artist right now. And then I sat down with a buddy of mine and I was like, I really want to do chapter art for this novella. And he's like, well, what are you like? Are you going to draw it yourself? I'm like, no. Like, that's going to look like garbage. I want it to look good. So I was like, you know what I could do? Like, I could like 3D model it, right? I could, you know, just jump into like, what's the fucking Unreal Engine. Like, I can jump into that, and, you know, they've got all those environments pre-rendered and all that stuff. It's beautiful now or whatever. I was like, I could do that, make these scenes, and then, like, trace over them. Then it's, like, still, like, drawing, right? It's my drawing. I'm still creating the thing. And he's like, well, if you want to create continuity between this book and the comic, you should have the same artist do it. And I was like, fuck, that's so smart. Or like, but you have just put me back in the same box I was in before I wrote this novella. Because now I got to hire an artist again. So I'm back to square one. But that's, you know, those are the challenges, you know. So you've got a pipeline, but outside of that pipeline of your interns becoming your employees, I'm sure you have, but by this point you put out so many damn books. Like, can't imagine you drawing all of them, right?
Oh, no.
I mean, you got the move, so like, I'm not doubting it, but you know, you got to breathe at some point. You got to have dinner once in a while.
Yeah, it's right here. Dinner's right here.
But like, how do you as a writer, as a creator, as a publishing company owner and operator, how do you approach an artist and say, hey, come join us? You know, I've been asked a couple questions that I don't really know how to answer. They were like, you know, co-authorship, co-ownership, you know, how's all this going to work? And I'm like, whoa, I didn't even think about any of those questions.
Oh, I just tell people I want them. There was an artist at this last convention I went to, and she was coming over to show me her work. She wanted me to look at her character designs and things like that and what she had. And I was looking at it and I was like, oh, okay, this is all the stuff that you made? This is for your own book? She's like, yeah. I was like, oh, okay, I want you to be part of my team. I want to publish your book. We have a few different creator contracts that we can do, but I gave her a basic rundown of what the options would be, and obviously you don't have to make a decision now, but I'm very interested in this. I would love to publish it. I could already see it being like one of our Webtoon comics that we would collect, do release in black and white on Webtoons, and then collect it into a volumetric trade in color on a Kickstarter, and you know, we would kind of like promote you for 6 months in 2024 to allow you to get up, you know, about 40 or 50 pages made before we release it on Webtoons. And then we can do a Patreon with the color pages where people can go see that. And, you know, just care, kind of give it a rundown. And our stuff is kind of basic, not basic, but the same. I modify things for whatever people want. Because, again, I'm interested in having all types of products, comic books on our table that reach more people. And pulling in everyone's audience to increase our audience so we get a bigger audience. So yeah, I'm very straightforward.
Damn. The man is a businessman. Michael Watson's a businessman. got the contracts ready on deck. No, that's cool, man. That's cool. I bet that's a great feeling though when you have that opportunity and you see someone that's like like, I gotta have this. I gotta put this on my team. I gotta bring this in house. Like, I bet that's a great feeling when you just like, hey, come work for me.
if it works, hell yeah. we've been able to snag a couple people like that, but you know, I'm always looking, and you know, I'm always looking for somebody that can, you know, fill the void of artists, because that's the one thing I really, really want to do is make sure we have a consistent artist on our books. And that's always hard because our release dates are so scattered. Like, we've been bringing out content, but it's not, you know, it's not like Hotshot every 2 months. It's like Hotshot, then it's Vigilance, then it's Emerald Quest, then it's Heroes, then it's Five Star, then it's another Vigilance, then it's Heroes, then it's Cypher. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're dropping content, but we kind of don't know until we get closer in the product stage of like, oh, well, this one's ready. Like, oh, okay, this one's up for release. So we can do this one now. We can move that one here, which is why I'm trying to jump on it in the forefront with 2024.
So with 17 new titles coming out in 2024, how many issues of Hotshot specifically will there be?
Four. We're going to be up to 15. We're going to be up to, yeah, Hotshot 15. And if you include Ace Blade 10, I don't know if it's 10 or 11. That is part two of our crossover. So technically.
Whoa, crossing over with Ace Blade. What?
Oh yeah, we announced that too. We announced that.
Man, I've been sleeping. What am I doing?
Yeah, we're doing an Ace Blade Hotshot crossover. It's going to be part one is in Hotshot. I think we're doing part one in Hotshot 15 and then continuing in Ace Blade 10 or 11.
Yeah, so is that part of the Cash Rules arc, or is it separate from the Cash Rules arc? How does that work?
It's separate from the Cash Rules arc, but it is in both of our worlds. We found a way to have our characters kind of like exist. So it is a story.
That's another question I've been meaning to ask you, because you mentioned it earlier with Charlie's books. I read, I think, the first issue of, maybe it was the whole volume. I don't know. I might have read actually the whole volume of Spider Squirrel. And I saw a bunch of your characters. I saw a bunch of various company characters and different art styles. And it was wild. That was a wild fucking ride. That Spider-Squirrel book is a wild ride. in that, he was jumping through different realities. I get that. How do you bridge something like a Justice Nightfall universe and an Ace Blade universe and the Hotshot universe?
Like I said, we drop breadcrumbs for our stuff all the time. And if you guys read issue 7 to 8 of Hotshot, then you know that Hotshot has fallen into an interdimensional time portal. And we don't know everything that happened in that portal, but that when that event happened, there have been random portals that have been popping up in the Hotshot verse. We see it in other issues of Hotshot, and we've seen it just recently in Vigilance number 4. So these things have been sporadic and happening randomly in our world. It just so happens in the Ace Blade and Hotshot crossover is that the city of Las Vegas in our world and the city of Las Vegas in Ace Blade's world are mapped over each other because of this portal. And Hotshot has traversed through this when he crosses the borderline in Las Vegas.
And ends up in Vegas City.
Yeah.
Okay. Very interesting. Very interesting stuff. This is the. I'm a process guy. I love to know how these little things connect and everything like that. That's really cool. I dig that. I gotta catch up on all these books, man. I got so much. This is the thing. And you know, listeners will remember this. I roll dice and flip coins, but like real life has been so fucking hectic lately that I just haven't lately. I just haven't fucking flipped. So I flip coins and roll dice to choose physical or digital, indie or mainstream, that kind of thing. And I've got my indie shelf back here. I mean, this right here, this stack is just stuff that's come in from Kickstarters. I haven't even put it up on shelves yet. Kickstarters and Black Friday sales and everything. I went a little, and by a little, I mean a lot overboard for Black Friday. I went a little wild in the shops. I hit three, four shops for the Black Friday week sales. I was like, came home, put it all away. I was like, that's a lot of books. But then, you know, I've got my consistent stream of Kickstarters that finally get, you know, fulfillment done. So it's like every couple of weeks I'm busting something out. I just got my Berserk Volume 3 finally.
Okay.
I think it's the last volume. I don't even know how long that book runs, but like a lot of stuff always comes in, you know, every couple of weeks I get something. So
it's good to have the random surprises. So, you know.
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. It adds content. You know, you're able to do unboxings, which I just got to edit, which is another thing that requires time and effort. This is the most consistent thing I've done in recent times. Panels on Pages goes up. That's the only thing that's been going up lately. Oh, man. Michael, absolutely a joy to have this conversation with you. It's been fantastic. I would love for you, if you find somewhere, I need number 9. I need number 9. I don't even know who number 9 was, because this was the X-Men stack that you had. So this is 8's Bishop. I don't know what 9 is, because 10 is Nightcrawler. And 10 is Nightcrawler's freaking dope. This is such a dope piece. I'm gonna put this up on camera because these have been in here. These have been in here for years. It's the first time I'm touching these cards in years.
That's crazy.
That's such a dope Nightcrawler. Number 10. And you've got, oh, I forgot, you did the indie stuff too, because you've got the Invincible on here. You got a little Superman action. I like that you got Invincible, Batman, Hotshot. So those, because that's 18, 19, 20. I'm missing 21 and 22. I don't even know who those were. And then you got 23 Superman. You got Miles, 37. I'm missing 38 and anything after 39. I'm missing like 5 out of this run. Just saying. If you wanted to do a new print run of these, I would appreciate it for sure.
I might still have those. I have to go dig in and look.
Dude, this has been a blast. Why don't you tell the people where they can find you, website, socials, all the good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, where you guys can find me right now, where I want you to go, is to FSKGO, FSKGO.com. For our Kickstarter. It is dropping January 5th, 2024, and it is for Hotshot number 12. Obviously, you can get all 13 issues of Hotshot on there, along with the rest of our comics. We have new merch, like jackets. We have new hats on there, and we'll be releasing our action figure for the first time on there. We have 3 different versions. We have the fully painted version with 25 points of articulation. We have the white prototype version, same amount of articulation. And then we have one we're just putting in a box in pieces that you get to put together yourself and you can paint if you want to.
Oh, wow.
All that's add-ons. The jackets are add-ons. You can get the whole Freestyle Comics library, which is a $420 value for $180, all physical books, all 42 books. That's a discount only on Kickstarter. And we'll have the variant covers, which will be unveiled a little later. After the holiday season and whatnot, but we have 4 awesome variant covers coming from Ren McKenzie, Adam Ooh. Field, Will Wong Yee, and DC Stelpner. So FSKGO.com is the place to be at. That's where everyone's going to be. That's where all the cool kids are hanging out.
That's where all the cool kids are going. Exactly. Yeah. FSKGO.
FSKGO.com. You can find me on all social media as Most Epic Art.
I didn't even get to ask that question. I was going to say, I read that in your information. How do you get that title? How do you get to be the most enthusiastic man in comics?
Because I'm loud and I'm not quiet anywhere I go. When I go to conventions and stuff and I'm excited, I have so much enthusiasm. I love being at comic book conventions. I love talking to people. I love just being at the show and people, you know, always talk about how much energy I have. And, I feel like I'm epic. So I went by the moniker of Most Epic. And then Victor is on the phone with me one day and Danny made me the hat that says Most Epic. And he was like, you know, that's the acronym, right? Because Victor is the hardest working man in comics. And I was like, what are you talking about? He was like, you're the most enthusiastic person in.
Oh! Victor Dandridge and his acronyms, man.
He put it together for me, man. So, yeah, it was right there on my face the whole time, and I didn't even realize it. But yeah, that's how it gets started.
That's awesome. That's really, really cool. Well, there you go, folks. The origin of the name. That's so freaking cool. I love that. That's going to be it for this one, folks. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. This very special Freestyle Comics Michael Watson interview. Make sure you go to fskgo.com and check out the new campaign for Hotshot number 12. Thank you all for watching. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the next one.